Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Up to now, there have been no secrets in Infinite Way Work. Everything that we've done has been done publicly. Everything that has been said publicly. Until the week before last, when we had three such meetings as we have here today, in which we had the first secret that the Infinite Way has from the world. And a good deal of what takes place today, I have to ask you to look upon as secret and as sacred. Promise you it won't be illegal. But it will be secret and it will be sacred because just as all teachers must teach milk to the babes and meat to those ready for it, so there are things that take place that we cannot go out and explain for the public at large, but which, in some measure, you can do when the right time comes. Let me, before I start, say this, that I asked that when you come here to this meeting, that you make it 2 o'clock, and not too long before 2, isn't that I forget at all our Seattle days when we were going to begin at 10 and finally got around to beginning at 8, and we were going to finish at 4 and got around to finishing at midnight. I haven't forgotten those days. But I can't have those days anymore. If you look here and here, you'll probably find confirmation of the fact that I'm taking care of 6,000 letters a month. Emma's handling over 2,000 a month herself. I'm handling 6,000. That's 8,000 between the two of us. And that doesn't take in the correspondence in Beverly Hills at the book department, nor does it take in what goes out of London and South Africa. That's another tremendous, tremendous pile of mail. The monthly letter out of London is over 1,000 letters a month. The monthly letter, not counting the correspondence. And when I speak of our 8,000 letters a month, I'm not speaking of the 3,500 letters, monthly letters, that are going out in the United States and Canada. That's on top of this other. And, of course, the manuscript work is increasing because not only there are more books in work, but the books that we already have in manuscript form are soon going to be prepared for publication in book form. And that's in addition to new books that are being written, edited, gotten ready for publication, some of them already on the press. Just imagine that right now, Practicing the Presence is on the press in England. The 1955 letters are on the press in England in book form. And in December, the 1956 letters will go on the press in book form, and others that are in work. In addition to that, the fourth dimension has just come off the press again, and the book The Letters has just gone to press again. And The Infinite Way has just come off the press of its sixth printing, and Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture has just come off the press this last month for its seventh printing. God, the substance of all form, goes to press next week for heaven knows how many printings that has been through. So you can see that with that work and class work and lecture work, that the days are gone when we can have interviews at any hour of the day or night, or that we can have hours and hours and hours of work as we had before. But these are things I can't say to the public. As far as they're concerned, I'm just going to have to be one of these fellows whose head's been turned by prosperity, and you can't get to see me anymore. But as far as you are concerned, you understand what is happening in the infinite way. Most of you have watched it even. Some of you saw it when it was only one book, The Infinite Way. Just one single solitary book. And I know that there's one here at least, if not more, that knew me before there was even the one book. And you've seen all this that's happened, so I don't have to make excuses. I merely tell you that the time is so filled, day and night, that the best help you can be to me is to accept that fact and then fit yourself in with me and cooperate with me to the best of the ability. Now, to get back to this work. In 1950, I was told to stop work on October 1st and to do no public work until January 1951 or possibly March 1951. And February 1951, I received the next word, and it was told to have a class March 1951, and we did. But the work that was to be given to me to do was postponed for another year. Then it was postponed again, again. Finally, I was told not to even think about it until I received direct orders, and it was on the 12th or 13th of January this year when I received those orders to begin at once. And I began this new work with Emma and Floyd. Those were the two with whom I started this new work. And then Walter read about it up in the stars, Walter Starkey, and he flew over from New York to Hawaii and joined us. And then a couple of local students came in. One of them, some of you know, our Daisy Shigemura. And so this new work was begun there. And it was quickly revealed that it was to be continued around the world. Now, I didn't expect to go around the world. I expected to come here and then go back home. But it didn't work out that way. And so this work that was begun in Honolulu has been continued here and is going to be continued in England and Sweden, Holland, and then down into South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. This new work consists of three parts, and it follows what we might call a revelation or an unfoldment. The experience we had this morning in class should be a fitting preparation for you to accept what I'm going to say. The world is suffering from only one disease. Not many diseases, just one. And that one you may call material sense. If material sense is broken, we are all spiritual beings back in the Garden of Eden. We haven't a fault, we haven't a lack or a limitation. Every fault that we have, every lack, every limitation, every sin, every false appetite, every disease is a product of material sense. Without some measure of material sense, you couldn't have any physical, mental, moral, or financial discord. which, of course, is pointing the finger at every one of us and saying, yeah, I'm guilty. To some extent, every individual on the face of the globe has some measure of material sense, and that material sense externalizes itself in material conditions. Sometimes good material conditions, sometimes evil ones, but always material ones. Now, the opposite of this is true. The degree of spiritual consciousness always externalizes itself in spiritual demonstration. And here in New York, you're witnessing an evidence of it. At some moment of my unfoldment, a certain touch of spiritual consciousness reached me, touched me, unfolded within me, and from that moment on, I began externalizing people who wanted spiritual awareness. In other words, I began externalizing spiritual friends, spiritually minded people, instead of sick patients or instead of human friends or human relatives. I began externalizing what we would call a student body. The student body of people all intent on spiritual unfoldment. Now, if you were able, or anything were able, to take from me my degree of unfolded or realized spiritual consciousness, you would also take from me my student body. I couldn't hold a spiritually minded student body 5 minutes after I lost spiritual consciousness. I might be able to have a student body, but they'd have to be people looking for material things in a material way or mental things in a mental way. I might be able, with promotion or hocus pocus, to go out and demonstrate classes or patients or the sale of books, but couldn't do it spiritually. If I am to attract, without advertising, without promotion, without human footsteps, those to me whom you are accustomed to finding in our classwork, it can only be done by the attainment of some measure of spiritual consciousness. Now, in the degree of the expansion of that consciousness, I will demonstrate the degree of deeper spiritual realization in the student. I may or may not demonstrate greater numbers. Numbers is really no testimony of spirituality. The master seemed only able to demonstrate 12 who he thought advanced enough to be disciples. He only seemed to demonstrate 70 who were advanced enough to be named apostles. At the most, he had 200 who could go out and do some preaching. So you see, the master did not demonstrate his spirituality in numbers, but let us say in depth and degree of awareness in those that he attracted to himself. So it is with his message. He said that his message would never pass away, and it hasn't. He may not have any followers. You may never have many followers, but the message will never pass away. And as long as there is a Gospel of John, his message will not pass away, even if there isn't one individual to demonstrate it. In the same way, Lao Tzu could never have written down his teaching in any form that would be perpetuated, so far as is known to man. And yet his message has not passed away. There may not be any, or there may be a few to follow it, but the message itself is there. That represents the degree of spiritual consciousness of the individual who gave the message. Now, follow this carefully. I could only attract to me my own realized state of consciousness. And before that spiritual state of consciousness could appear, I could not have a spiritual student body. After it appears, I cannot be deprived of it. That is why our work knows no such thing as competition. That's why it has to know no such thing as advertising. For the simple reason that it has nothing to do with the ways of men. It has to do with the ways of God. Now then, what is the function of the developed, unfolded, revealed, realized Christ consciousness? To destroy material sense. To destroy material thought. To destroy material deeds. To destroy whatever that state of consciousness is that is responsible for sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, wars, thefts, murders, adulteries, and all the rest of the things that are included in Paul's statement. See, all of those statements follow a material state of consciousness and are coincidental with it. But all of the other things, peace, joy, long-suffering, and so forth, are the externalized forms of spiritual consciousness. Now, spiritual consciousness destroys material sense. So that when, through a healer's consciousness, you are relieved of a pain or a discord, that isn't what happens at all. The spiritual consciousness of the healer removed some phase of material sense from you. And in removing the material sense, the material manifestation disappeared. Now, let no one believe that there is any human way of removing war from the earth. And I don't care how many leagues of nations you have, or United Nations, or multiply them by 12 times 12, and you're still going to have war. And you're still going to have depressions, and you're still going to have volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes, and you're going to have every manifestation of material sense. There is only one way to remove wars from the earth, collective and individual ones. There is only one way to remove sin from your consciousness or mine, or your patients or my patients or students. And that is, as spiritual consciousness touches receptive consciousness, material sense disappears. Now, it is true there are rocky states of consciousness and barren states of consciousness that do not readily yield to spiritual unfoldment because their time has not yet come. But our function is to plant the seed, knowing that wherever spiritual receptivity is, there will be spiritual response. All right? What is it that separates every man, woman, and child on earth from the same degree of love, harmony, and peace that we have in this room? Material sense. What makes for the peace in this room? The fact that nobody in this room wants anything of anybody else. If there were, in proportion as there were material sense in this room, that material sense would be looking around to see what it could get from whom. In proportion as there is only spiritual sense in this room, every individual is saying and thinking and believing within themselves that their good has to unfold from God, not from man whose breath is in his nostril. Then, as we sit here, each one of us, in an inner awareness that our good is an unfolding experience within our consciousness and not dependent on somebody else in this room, in that degree we are spiritual consciousness, and in that degree there is no material consciousness in this room. And so then, if the spiritual consciousness is sufficient, each one in this room could empty out their pockets or anything else that the other may require, and still not feel that anything was being taken from them. That is spiritual consciousness. Now, when you have the realization that God constitutes your individual being, you cannot fear bombs or bullets or wars. When you achieve one iota of realization that God constitutes your being and your body, you can no longer fear disease. Nor can you entertain evil desires. It's a fantastic impossibility to desire evil while believing that God constitutes our body. Doesn't mean we can't desire human affection. It doesn't mean that we can't desire marriage or companionship and all the rest of it, but don't ever call those things evil. Those things are human manifestations of a spiritual activity within us. Those things on the human plane are only evil when their purpose is evil, when their function is evil, when their object or aim is evil. But otherwise, companionships, relationships, all these things that we call human, they're not evil, they're good. They're very good. As long as they're prompted by the desire to share, not to get, achieve, take from. Now then, no person can entertain spiritual consciousness and at the same time entertain evil, because one wipes out the other. Therefore, in this room, it is logical to say that there can't be a war. As a matter of fact, I don't see even any good reason why there should ever be a lawsuit. No matter what injustice one should, for any reason, do another, it shouldn't result in lawsuit, because the one to whom it's done, if the one who does it hasn't enough of spiritual insight, the one to whom it's done should have enough to say, well, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. This is no loss to me, since my good is of God and is therefore infinite. Now, since this is true, that the spiritual consciousness is the destruction of material sense, then our function in life is to develop within ourselves a greater degree of spiritual illumination so that we may destroy a greater sense of materiality. Then, that which separates the human race from finding a teaching such as the Infinite Way or any spiritual teaching is material sense. They cannot look at a spiritual teaching and value it from the standpoint of material sense. So material sense, then, is the barrier. It isn't dollars or it isn't distance. Because the moment there is spiritual sense, the dollars arrive and the material distance disappears. Then our object is attainment, realization of spiritual consciousness. And so, the purpose of this meeting is to ask of you, almost you might say require of you, 3 daily periods to be given to this work in this manner. The first, not necessarily the first in your day, you may suit the periods to your own unfoldment, but the first that I will explain to you is this. Let us have from you one period in the day in which you sit down for no other purpose than Christ realization. You have no object, you have no purpose, you have no reason. You're not going to save anyone in the world, you're not going to do anything for anyone in the world. You are going to do nothing in that period except attain Christ realization. In other words, by whatever means you're accustomed to in meditation, whether taking a biblical quotation into consciousness or a metaphysical statement or some other truth and pondering it, thinking about it, cogitating over it, until you arrive at a place where all speech and thought ceases, and you become receptive, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and await there in the silence until you have achieved that inner release or inner grace, that deep breath or the falling of the weight off the shoulders or a voice itself within, whatever form it may come to you. Now, you've done this for no other reason than coming to the realization of that presence, and that period's finished for you. Now you can get up and do anything you like, go about your business, or anything else you want. You have established for yourself, for your household, for everyone who touches your consciousness, you have established the Christ. It's right there where you are, and they know it, and they feel it. I have said to you over and over again that the only value I have to you is my periods of meditation. Take those away from me, and I have no value whatsoever to you. If it weren't for that experience we had in class this morning, the class wouldn't have been worth your while being there. Therefore, it was the all-night meditation culminating in that experience in the class this morning that is of value to you. Why? Because the very Spirit of God itself walked through that room. It pulled my body, and I'm sure it pulled some of yours. And that is your salvation. When the Spirit of God touches you, you are free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you know it very quickly. That's my only value to you, and someday you're going to find out and wish you had known it 20, 30 years ago. That's the only value you have to your husband or your wife or your child. All the rest of this human relationship they could well get along without, and in some ways they could be better off without your human relationship. But if you can bring into your household just that realization, that touch, that feeling, you have fulfilled yourself in your household and in your community. Now, the second period. As you can see, I'm walking up and down this world on wings and carrying this message out. And what is the opposition to this message? Material sense. Nothing else. Nothing else. It isn't person. It isn't thing. It isn't men, it isn't churches, it isn't religion. They are merely the forms that material sense takes. There's only one opposition to this work. There's only one opposition to everybody in the world coming into spiritual realization. As a matter of fact, when Walter Starkey went to the New York Public Library to place the Infinite Way writings there, he was told that they don't even have a department for religious books. New York City doesn't want religious books, if you please. Now, what is that? New York City, or is that material sense? That's material sense, and you find it not only in New York, many other places too. All right? Then, since there is no opposition to God except through material sense, bring your conscious realization of God's presence to bear on the dissolving of material sense. Maybe dissolving is a better word than destroying. And so, for your second period, will you please remember that the infinite way is the realization of Christ consciousness dissolving material sense, and have that period first to realize your Christ again, and then realizing that your realization of the Christ is dissolving that material sense which stands in the way. of the world accepting a spiritual teaching. I don't care particularly whether the world accepts the infinite way or whether it accepts any other spiritual teaching that will lead a person to Christ consciousness. But it is a part of the function of my individual experience to be concerned that material sense is broken so that every individual can fulfill Scripture and in the end be taught of God. Now, give that second period then, or one of those three periods, to the realization of Christ and then to the conscious realization that this realization of the Christ is the dissolving of the material sense that would separate people from spiritual realization, from God realization, from the spiritual teachings that are walking around this earth today trying to bring together through the power of prayer peace on earth. Now, there can't be peace on earth by human means. Peace on earth comes in the same way that peace comes in this room. When every individual is spiritually endowed, then there can be no more wars. No human being can destroy material sense for themselves. That is what I discovered many years ago to be the fault with all metaphysical practice. It tries to tell you to be more loving, more generous, more pure, more forgiving, more something or other. And you're saying inside, my God, you don't have to tell me that. Isn't that what I'm trying to do? Tell me how to do it, how to accomplish it. I'm not satisfied with myself. I don't think I'm pure enough. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm honest enough. I don't think. But you're telling me to be more good, more honest, more pure. But you're not telling me how to do it. And so I know that all these teachings that tell you what you should be, in the end, that's why psychology can't ever help. It reveals your fault to you and then tells you you shouldn't be that way. And you say, well, I knew that was the fault long before you began. But what I didn't know was how to get rid of it, and you're not helping much. Now, we know that no individual can be better than what they are. But by introducing the Christ into their consciousness, they become better than they are. Therefore, consciously know this truth, that when you have achieved your realization of the Christ, that your realization of the Christ is dissolving material sense for all of this world, so that all may come into the realization of their spiritual inheritance, their spiritual freedom, that peace can be established on earth by removing war from human consciousness, by removing material sense. Never believe for a minute that there will be a stoppage of war while one nation has too much of this and another nation too little of that, because they're going to go out with all the means, human means, at their disposal to take what they can get out of the world. And those that have too much are going to withhold it from those that have too little for a price that the ones that have too little can't pay. So again, there's got to be another war. But the dissolving of material sense enables a person to say, whatever I've got, I'm willing to share with you because I can get more from the same source, the inner source, which is God. The third period is again for the realization of the Christ. And this time, in the realization that the Christ is dissolving material sense universally, that the kingdom of God may appear on earth. See, the first is for your own realization of Christ for no purpose except the realization of the Christ. The second is a realization of the Christ for the purpose of realizing the dissolving of material sense so that the men and women of the earth can be receptive and responsive to a spiritual message. The third is a realization of the Christ so that this realization of the Christ can dissolve material sense, revealing the kingdom of God on earth. One of these days you're going to say, what's the difference in these three meditations? And I'm going to answer none. But there is a difference until that day arrives. Just as there is a difference when a call comes for help. There's no difference in my realization, but there's a difference in the answer that comes. For instance, there is a lady in our class today who a week ago was in the hospital in Vienna with a broken hip and told for how long she would not be able to walk. But she walked in on her own 2 feet this morning. But Saturday she wrote me that she couldn't come because she wasn't yet able to get out of bed and walk. But my answer after the meditation was, come, rise up and be here. Now you see, I wouldn't have sent that same answer to somebody looking for employment. It would have come in a different way. But in that particular case, it said, come, rise up and be here. And she came up to show me that she did be there with a letter in her hand too. So it is that a realization of the Christ, while it's always the same and always produces harmony, it does operate in different ways to meet different claims. It appears outwardly differently. So it is that in our first work, let us take it up separately in three different ways. First, purely for the realization of the Christ. Second, that the realization of the Christ dissolve material sense that would separate mankind from spiritual teachings or realizations or religions. Third, that the realization of the Christ destroy material sense and reveal the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you'll find that the realization of the Christ does appear in many different forms, many different messages, and each one subject to the circumstance of the moment. Now, these three periods are our secret periods and not to be told to anybody else, for the simple reason that those who were here during the first week and those who are here now constitute that first group of infinite way workers who will be working invisibly, unseen, and yet as a united consciousness around the globe. Because even out of those who were here and those here, the major cities of the United States and Canada will be covered. By the time I'm through in England and Sweden and Holland, that territory will be covered. And by the time I'm through in Africa, Australia, New Zealand, that territory will be covered. And we will literally be a spiritual band, a united consciousness, spiritual, around this globe, working. This should not be mentioned openly or outwardly. Why? You, at this moment, do not know what this will do for the world or whether it will do anything. This is a whole new idea to you, and you haven't seen one visible proof that it will do anything at all. So what have you got to tell anyone else? Something that you don't know yourself. Wait for a year until you have a definite evidence that the revealed Christ within you is producing an effect somewhere else on earth. When you begin to get letters from someone that they heard of you miraculously here, there, or the other place, or heard about you or were drawn to you, you'll know that this realized Christ is reaching the far corners of the globe, drawing unto you your own. Then, and not until then, can you go out and teach it. You've heard me tell you too often, perhaps, could be boring by now, that I sat and healed for 16 years before teaching. Why? Because it was only then that I had the absolute, utter, final conviction that there is no way for this principle to fail. We may fail it. We may find patients and students who can't achieve it at the moment, but it can't fail. I know after those 16 years, what is done. Now 10 years have gone by before I've asked this work. But I've had opportunity to witness the fruitage. I've seen how my realized Christ in California opened up the publication of my books in England, Holland, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, Africa. I've seen how my realized Christ has drawn students to me from all over the globe. I've seen that. I can tell you now that Christ realized in any individual's consciousness will draw to them their good from all over the globe. I can tell you that. But I want in this next 12 months for you to prove it, that the realized Christ in your experience will draw unto you your own. Then you will be in a position to carry on the work from there. If when you're home and you find some one person who has left other metaphysical teachings, who's not following Christian Science or Unity or New Thought, who's completely free from other teachings and working out their entire salvation through the message of the infinite way, if you should find one such who can make an absolute commitment to meet you every day, either in your home or their home, or your office or their office, then you may confide this to that one or that two. But be very sure that it is not someone who is flitting and fluttering around from teaching to teaching and teacher to teacher, because I can promise you this, the pearl that you give them, you're going to have taken from you. It's going to be trampled on. You're going to lose it. This isn't something for those who are not yet established in a teaching. This is for those who are established in a teaching that reveals not the power of words, not the power of thoughts, not the power of the absolute, not the power of the negative, but the power of Christ realized. Unless you've got someone who's that far along the path that they have forsaken all others, don't. I've spent too many years in having this pearl revealed to me to give it lightly to you. I'm giving it to you sacredly, I'm giving it to you secretly, and I'm asking you to respect me, because this is my life work. And I don't want it disrespected, and I don't want it misunderstood, I don't want it trampled, I don't want it in the possession of anybody who hasn't enough understanding to know what it is and to respect it and honor it and give themselves to it. So please, don't share this lightly with your husband or your wife or your child or anybody else. Only with those that you know have gone as far as you have in the way of giving up yourself to the message, to God realization, to Christ realization. If they haven't gone as far as you have, don't take them into this work. Don't do it. If they haven't forsaken other teachings, if they haven't come. Now remember this. We're not trying to restrict anybody's teachings. Heaven's sakes, don't forbid anybody to have other teachings or other books. Let them have all they want. That is their right as it was our right, to seek and to search until they find. But don't give this work until, except to those who have found and who have found this way. Let others work out their salvation in their way. But let us work out our salvation with those. Now, I can say this to you because every one of you have come from distances. Every one of you have shown over the years that you devote your time, your effort, your money liberally, expansively to this. So I know that you must have no other interest, no other spiritual interest than this. And so I give you this. When you find someone that's done equally what you have done, then share it, but not before. Not before. Don't let anybody ride in your Rolls Royce for a nickel fare. Don't you do it. You cheapen it. And not cheapen it financially, you cheapen it by not holding it as sacred. And this is a sacred work. Why? Because if we succeed, or in proportion as we succeed, material sense will be broken for this world. And who knows that material sense is the only devil or enemy, except those who have worked long enough on this path to see it. Who knows what effect is produced by breaking material sense, except those who have healed this way. So please don't go out looking for a companion to pray with. Stay in your sanctuary and pray alone. All alone. Then when you find someone, as I have found you, someone that you're as sure of as I'm sure of you, then go and do likewise, but not before. Because you'll spoil it for yourself. You won't spoil it for us who hold it sacred and secret. That nobody can do. Nobody gave me my demonstration but God, and nobody can take my demonstration away but God. But you can wreck your own. I could wreck my own too if I would let the call of the world get in. Too late for that now. Do you see that? Anyone, anywhere, at any time may pick up Infinite Way books, may even come to Infinite Way classes, but they also may go at their goodwill. I hold no one in bondage to me, no one in debt to me, no one under obligation to me. But when I have such a group as I have here, it is because they have demonstrated themselves to me. I haven't drawn them to me or pulled them to me or demanded anything. They have drawn themselves. And so they are held with a tighter bond than any material tie. And you'll read in the Infinite Way that it is this spiritual consciousness that breaks material ties and holds us together with a spiritual bond. Now don't talk about this work to anybody else, except those that you know have no material ties, whom you do not hold in bondage or under obligation to you, but who have revealed themselves as being one with you in a spiritual tie, in a spiritual bond. I wonder if you believe this. I expect to see, in my time, peace on earth and goodwill among men. I expect to see, in my time, the destruction of material sin. I expect to see, in my time, world's problems solved at a conference table by men who won't be sitting with a bomb bigger than the bomb across the table from. By men who will have learned to check their guns at the door. I expect to see that. I expect to see it in our own time. The reason I expect to see it is this. In my travels, I have met men of goodwill. Not all on the Infinite Way path, but I have met men like Henry Thomas Hamblin, men like Brother Mandis, Swami Ram Dass, other men, all of whom have something in mind, the attainment of God realization, all of whom are telling others about God realization. And wherever I travel, I'm meeting groups of 100, 200, 300. Who increase in numbers after I tell them that we can't guarantee you parking places or new automobiles. That the only assurance we can give you if you stick is God realization. And they increase in numbers the more they're told that. So I do know from travel and the meeting of people in all of these places that behind the businessman and housewife exterior, there is a God breaking through. There is a spiritual realization coming through. And While it may have taken 2,000 years since the time of the Master for it even to have reached this point of realization, it is like everything else. It's a slow beginning. It's a hard work and a hard study. But then in the twinkling of an eye, though your sins were scarlet, you're white as snow. In other words, no matter how deep, how black the past may have been, and how hard the struggle, in some one certain split second of realization, all of humanhood's wiped out and Christhood is realized. That's our goal, the unveiling of the new creature, Christ. Our goal is not stopping wars. Our goal is not emptying hospitals of sick people. Our goal is not making all poor people have abundance. Our goal is the destruction of material sense so that the new creature Christ may be revealed as individual being. Every bit of our teaching is aimed at that. Every bit of the books is aimed at that. Every bit of the healing work is aimed at that. Not at reducing fevers, not at reducing lumps, not getting rid of this, that, or the other thing, but the dissolving or the destruction of material sense and the unveiling to our immediate presence of the new creature, Christ. And that's about it until 2 o'clock on Wednesday.